everything, I won't make great.
No, that was the first boat that Grandpa and Uncle Walter brought up from Spokane, and they brought it on what was called a lumber wagon. It's this long, narrow one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't have
this
a bed.
This is the first boat?
No. Yeah.
Oh,
it was the Kinnexu, and they fired it with shorter lengths of wood.
Isn't that something? It's a good-looking boat,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, steered it in the old thing on the side.
Oh, now they brought that.
You know, like a ship's wheel, only it went sideways. A lot of boats were that way.
Oh, is that right?
Grandpa came, and Uncle Walter came in 1892 and bought 2 acres down where the marina, Bishop's Marina is, and built a small log cabin. Some pictures.
Oh, and it says here on the back.
And there's another picture of it at the dock down there.
Oh, these are wonderful pictures.
There's one. There was a good one. I didn't know, George, whether you ought to have this one over there hanging up, or should we? If we could get some prints made of it. Do you think that could be copied?
Sure.
I want to give that to the museum, because that's perfect, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It looks just like it did.
Yeah.
And it's in action. It's out on the water. That you see from about 1904, I suppose it was, that they got it finally built. And
but
then they ran
that,
every day from the...
That's not this one, or
no,
is it?
No.
It's a different one.
This is a bigger one.
This was the WWC, and it went up and down the lake until about 1931 or 2, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Grandpa died in 35, and he was beginning to sell it to Bert Winslow. Bert wanted it. He'd always fired it, you see. Bert's standing around here someplace. There's Uncle Walter. He had polio as a young man, and couldn't use his legs from his hips down like FDR. And so he designed the boat after they came up to the lake with this little boat and had that to go back and forth. They liked to camp, and they liked to shoot and hunt fish. And so they went up the thoroughfare always and struck up a tent camp. And there's lots of pictures of that.
He's a handsome man.
Yes, and I wondered about, do you have a picture of him over there? Because he absolutely, after all, was kind of a... This was somewhat like the dugout. Here's the dugout. Head in the yard.
This is the end of his name.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that sad? Oh, let's see, these were pictures. Somebody said nobody's going to save all the postcards that they had, and so we started a postcard album and flyers that people had made about the lake. And
that's amazing.
What I'm trying to find is more of the old things that go with these boats, as long as we're talking about the boat.
Yeah.
Now, sit down. It's a little difficult to forever stand up.
Oh, excuse me, George.
Yes, I don't know. You have bigger ones.
Yeah, the trees were so different in those days.
How could the trees be different?
Well, they've grown so fast.
They've grown
so fast. Don't you think? Bobby Dockendorf noticed that. We were looking at some of the old ones, old pictures of the island of 4 Mile, you know, because we've
the
always...
The hotel, this is like Bishop's Marina, right out here, and this is an empty place.
And this was where Grandpa's cabin was, you see, and he's starting... There was his marina, which was really just more or less forced on him with that first boat, because they'd go up and take their things and camp at the head of the lake, and people would say to him, bring my mail when you come up next, will you? Or we've gotten a lot of huckleberries, will you bring some sugar?
Well, this isn't Houdini's, though.
No, that's Northern Hotel. This is the Idaho Inn. This is down just where the lot that holds all the boat trailers across the street from the store now. This burned. And as I say, Grandpa, we had a little cabin in there. We stayed in a little house. And then Grandpa's cabin was there. He bought this 2 acres in here from Andy Coolin when they first came up. And nobody was here. A couple of Indians, and there was a log building or two. And Andy Coolin had built the house that's up just inside the pillars for Sherwood. And Dr. Brink had an idea, you know, a great idea of trying to restore that to its original, because it was the first house, log house.
There's here. The.
And this is the way for years we came in the 8 mile stretch. You remember how that was, George?
I remember when I looked at that. Yeah. I sure did.
Mm-hmm. And the Hungates all came in for many years, and so Mary Maud collected postcards, and she brought hers over, and we just thought this gave a pretty good picture.
Well, then you wouldn't have been able to ever come up in the spring, would you?
Oh, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, the ruts were just. There was a while it was just.
This was the. Little cabin Grandpa had down at Coolin at the end of the dock, and then the dock went out, and this was his marina. Yeah, I mean, it was the first boat shelter that they had. And then he had, on either side of the cabin, warehouses or storehouses that he stored people's boats for the winter, or like the Hungates.
And then the Emily's was the one next over.
Yeah, but they weren't there for a number of years after.
Later.
And these just, as I say, I've tried to get one of each that came along, and or other things that I thought. This was the cabin, this cabin.
Oh, that's this cabin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a shot down from 8 Mile, from the land side of 8 Mile, through the Narrows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But see the difference in the trees? Now they.
Yeah.
That's what
you can see
George
on all of this.
Yeah.
See,
okay,
see, they were very thin and very small. And the underbrush and the trees have all grown up so, and this must have been in the winter.
It says 1916 about.
Yeah. And there was one cabin, and we can't remember who it was.
Do you remember?
Because now then, this is the way they set up camps, you see. This was an old launch we had. And this was Grandpa's cabin again. And this was the depot. I did go down and take a picture of the Priest River Depot, because you see, to come up here, when I first, my very first coming was when we still had four horse stage, wagon stage, and we would have to come to the Great Northern Depot, someplace I have.
Here. Look, it says, I have more pictures in case they ever do have a museum in Priest River.
Well, we'd come up on the night before on the Great Northern and get off at the St. Elmo Hotel, which was right across, and I did get a picture of it before they tore it down. And I think this was some of the first public relations that went out years ago. And stay all night at the hotel, and the loggers, lumberjacks, were all pretty noisy always, and Grandma and Mother would always put a dresser or move a table or a couple of chairs in front of the door in the hotel, scared for the night.
Sure.
Then we'd get up and go downstairs where they had two long tables in the dining room and put out family-style breakfast, you know, sourdough hotcakes and, you know, I just put them that way.
I think it's hooked.
Oh, no, it isn't. I tried not to. And,
I see what you've done. Okay, great.
And then we'd have breakfast, and then you'd get on this stage in the wagon, and at the bottoms of long hills, why everybody had to get out and walk up, because the horses couldn't pull to unless you were a small child or a lady with a small baby. And you get up, there's Uncle Burns, Uncle Warner's.
Okay, now you call him Grandpa, and then you call him
Uncle. No, he was my uncle, and my grandfather was Joseph Beasley, and he had to be here, of course, because Uncle Walter, as they say, was an invalid.
All right.
We can open this up, and we'll get you better oriented, because it's kind of hard to be dropped into. There's the St. Elmo Hotel on Priest River.
And that's where you'd stay.
We stayed all night there, yeah. This is the other store that was right next to Grandpa's house, and this was while they were building the ship, boat. This was the way they used to load up the first times they came up. They had sailboats, and they went up with their camping equipment to the thoroughfare. That was before he had the polio. And there is a picture of Grandpa, and this was Uncle Walter, how do I see. And this was a family party. We were all there, all the grandchildren. There's another picture of the two boats. You see, they were keeping urging me to, because we had no thought of a museum up here, And the Paul's Library wanted to have stuff on this subject down in the museum, Jeannie Paul's Museum in Spokane. And so the good old Pete Chase, and I've got more of these whiskey bottles.
Now, is he what Chase here. Lake was named after?
Well, I've always thought so, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
I understood that. But he abandoned Coolin later and moved up to a place that he settled on at the end of the little lake, Trapper Creek, and lived up there until he died, down under the dock with his snowshoes on, didn't he? As I remember.
This?
Pete.
Mm-hmm. This picture, yeah. I guess the circumstances of that were all never
kind of cloudy. My brother had bought Sam Byers' lodge at the thoroughfare, which is now Sandpiper Shores, and was going to go like you. He just couldn't believe that this was the thing he wanted to do. You know, when you grow up here, you just stay.
Yeah.
And so he bought it, and they were running it that first summer. And then in 1940, he was an officer in the Air Force, and it was declared a time of emergency, and he was called into service to go back to do some gunnery creation of a base down at Taft, California, and had to leave it. He left it with a friend, and some hunters got in, and they threw great chunks of pitch in the fireplace or the stove, I don't know which, and it was burned down. There wasn't a chance in the world for it, and so there was nothing left except the bottom of old Judge Hearn's old roaster that we'd inherited to have up here. Mother had been using to store lettuce in out in the underground cellar. Of all the crazy things. You remember the Hearns, don't you, Judge and Mrs. Hearn, they were back there.
But this says Grandview Resort on the west side. Now, is that the Grandview Resort that we know now, or is that
the same? Yeah, and you went there because it was the last place you could go with the road, you see. It's as far as the road went when he, in the 30s.
Huh.
You see, the roads your way didn't come till the 20s. There was just a kind of a windy trail thing that the Lubies and those people got in.
Down.
And no road until the main road building. I've always been interested in the church because when we started the church, it was in, it wasn't inside even, except in the winter they used the schoolhouse. And in the summer we set on logs that they dropped down on two sides of the path that went in, and they built a rustic altar up in front and a little rustic lectern of wood and cedar, and had church outdoors. And the Council of Churches in Spokane furnished a preacher every Sunday to come up from every denomination. Everybody took a turn. And then in the winter, the same, and went to the school. And then Mrs. Snyder gave them the property for the building, and then they started to do that. Those are quite a few of those. Are,
who is this little girl?
Well, that's her daughter, Anne.
Oh, cute.
She was killed in the accident. Lost most of her family. But that was her daughter.
That we just knew.
It was a great deal. Mr. McBurney thought she was so cute at that age, and he took lots of photographs as well as did his painting. And here was another, this is a postcard that's a good shore view of Coolin, because people don't believe, you know, when we say that it was really quite a village. And in one of these, I have a lot that Ivy Cool sent. She used to be a school teacher. That shows the waterfront, and there's the Idaho Inn that Mrs. Handy had. And then up here you see this, it's got to be there, though that looks more to me like the ranger station. Like a tree or something. Houdini's was built by Mr. Clockman for his home to entertain all these visiting moguls that came. He thought he would be interested in the mining claims he had. And he writes a very good, his diary's very good.
1934.
Mm-hmm. Look at that, Craig.
That's the other side.
Well, this is a picture of the halfway house. Well, getting back to how we got in here, you know, we'd get on this four-horse team wagon and drive up to the halfway house at Prater's, and they changed the horses there then to come the other halfway. That's only about 12 miles or 12 and a half miles, and it would wear out the horses by then. And she gave them dinner every day, made served dinner, I think 50 cents or a dollar. And mother, I remember, had my brother as a little baby along with us, and she had to go in one of the tents that was around it to change him and give him a bottle and while the rest of us ate. And then we came on, and by 6 o'clock in the evening, we were up at Poulin, but it was an all-day trip. People don't realize how long horses took when you whirl up to you from town in an hour and a half now.
Isn't that true?
And that's a land. There's the steamer. Now, this is the way they used to go up to land at Mosquito Bay, you know, and they'd come in. It's deep there, and the water enough for the boat. And Bert would throw the gangplank down and help everybody totter off, and they'd eat lunch on the beach there. And they'd unload the freight for the little lake or
for sandbars. But what was that Mosquito Bay?
Nothing except that it was the head of the lake, and he took it, and people camped. There was lots of camping up there. It was a pretty popular place for camps, and people would come to get their mail and walk over. When every noon he got there, 12 o'clock, you see. Left Coolin at 8:30 in the morning.
Every day?
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
All summer. Yeah. And people came in. George's father came and stayed at the Idaho Inn, that one we showed you, when he was courting Bess before they were married. And he'd go up. Well, he went up a couple of times, I know, and then stayed over because at the Nelsons, because that was the house they were living in then, you know. Your grandfather's, the old house. And so we'd go up with him. I'd often go for these day trips. I just loved it. That's another postcard of that. What I was trying to find was Houdini's, for sure.
Look at, here's the corner of Houdini. See the double porch there?
Yeah, now here's
and look
one that
how
proves
open
my
this
point.
Is.
See, this proves my point. That porch was wide, and it had swings, and it had rocking chairs, and people came all summer just like old New England or Lake Michigan resorts, you know. And then somebody whacked it off.
Porch off.
And so I was complaining to, what's his name, the other day down there, a couple of years ago when he first bought it. I said, well, it just ruined for me because the porch, I played with my dolls in the corner with people that would be staying up here, would have children, the Clarks. My father was in business with Patrick Clark's sons in real estate and insurance since they became Clark Brothers and Klein. And they, Jim Clark's, would bring, they had a lot of children. They were real good family to come up, and they loved it, and they'd stay there about the period of this automobile, and they'd stay up there. Well, then they quit serving meals there, just had the rooms upstairs. Mrs. Handy down at the Idaho Inn would serve the meals, and they'd walk down the hill for their meals and come back. We'd play dolls, and we'd swing there, and you could climb up here, and everybody would say, don't fall off. But I could prove after I... He said, "Oh, you just are trying. You it just looked bigger to you when you were a youngster."
Yeah, you can
and
see it.
And I said, "Oh, when I happened on that after Mother died, and I picked up all these albums over at her house, I was so thankful to be up and take it into him and show him I was."
Did you do it? Yeah. What did he say?
Well, he said, "Yeah, I just did once. There was the picture." What did he do?
What did he say?
But see how open it was. Right. Now, I remember the other night we walked down from there, and you could.
This old plumber place was an interesting one, and I'm awfully sorry they tore that down at the end of Indian Creek Bay. There for so many years it was the only cabin there, don't you know? Yeah. He was a very wealthy lawyer who was in with the one with the monkey child. What was the name of the other of that attorney? Clarence Darrow.
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago. He used to come, Mr. Plummer and his family, and he had a very pretty, fluffy blonde wife off of Jackie many veils when she came up so she wouldn't sunburn. Mm. Like Mrs. Harry Bear used to, when they came up, she'd always be dressed, covered with her pink and white complexion with tans. They'd come with Negro help, a man, maybe two maids. One, usually man and wife were the cook and probably chauffeur in Chicago, I don't know. But they'd bring red canoes on the Great Northern.
Mm. And where is this?
And it's, it was right next to the, right close to the creek. Where the creek comes in, the Indian Creek. The other, it was a little ways, like about here, would be where the Forest Service house was, right on the edge of the creek. But it was right in the middle of the bay, as you look up the lake.
Yeah.
And they came every summer for a number of summers, and Uncle Walter would take them up. It was a beautifully built, was done by an architect, like old Dressy. First fishing was good in those days. But I think maybe we can find some more here. But then after the stage, the horse stages, that got to be too bad, too hard a thing. And this was when we were trying to, when they were building the boat, the Union Ironworks built the works, the boiler and the stuff that they used inside of the steamer, but they did the steamer up here on the shore. You see, and launched it there. And this is the store that was right next to Grandpa's cabin. So there were always two stores for a number of years. The competition for Leonard, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The first one belonged to Mr. Clockman, and he put a Mr. Gorsline, who ran his, after he decided he didn't need that big house called the Northern Hotel from then on. He didn't need it to entertain his guests. He turned it into a hotel, and the Mr. Gorsline ran it as a hotel keeper. And then he also ran this store. Well, this was a 4th of July celebration down at this, Mrs. Fuzzy had it by this time, and Mrs. Bear. Her mother was Mrs. Bear, which everybody always laughed about.
And the lady's name was Mrs. Fuzzy?
Fuzzy. Mr. and Mrs. Fuzzy had it at first. Then they separated later, and she kept it and ran it for a number of quite a few years. And then it was sold to somebody who didn't want a store, but they wanted a small cafe, and they did short orders. Mike and Delamore. They had a phonograph out on the porch and played all the time. Well, you know about music goes around. At a resort.
Mm-hmm.
These were most of the citizens of Coolin. Mm-hmm. Grandpa, I can remember saying at that time, sometime, there were must have been half a dozen or 10 automobiles came in from Priest River. And Leonard had sent out for $100 worth of fireworks. And they were going to have boat races during the day, which they did. And up to the island and back. And we were all posed there by this photographer. Palmer, I think, was his name. And I'm on the stump. Yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
And these were the Handy. One was Lotta Handy, and one was Ruth Handy. Ruth was Lotta's aunt. Ruth and Harry Handy were brother and sister and the children of Mrs. Ida Handy, the one who had the Idaho Inn, and she and her husband bought and homesteaded the land that is Camp Sherwood, that from the creek, Soldier Creek, down to where the pillars say Sherwood, you know.
Ida Handy was, would she?
There was Ida Handy.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was a big, heavy
she
lady.
She was a very heavy lady. And this was Mrs. Gorsline. Sam and Hilda Gorsline lived up here most of the year.
Well, look how beautifully they're dressed, you know?
Yes, they were gussied up for the fourth. But it's certainly perfect. And I have two of those, so one should be in the museum, you know, because this really is a
good picture. Mm-hmm. Clear, good picture.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because people just don't know.
Well, people don't know there were two stores.
We just tried to save one of the ferry, because we didn't always go across the bridge at Newport. We always, most always got on the side when the ferry was on the other side. You know. These were the way they... Well, and then this was the old hotel, and that's just a Oh, Dewey Hewitt. He drove when he drove the horses, and then he later drove for Stan Jones, the auto stage. You remember that? It was like four buggy seats, carriage seats, crosswise of a truck bed.
Yeah.
And, well, let me see. There's a pretty good picture of it, isn't there, in that Linger Longer flyer that they had, or they have
it's
somewhere.
In here.
Yeah. I think that it had a picture of the stage. Someone, and that's a good picture of the old store that Margie finally loosened up with. Going into the hill. There. Isn't that it? Yeah. That's it. And there were several people. Mr. Warren.
Now, I have the, I don't know if it's the original picture, but I have this picture in a black and white, like.
Oh, good.
That man brought when I was gone that day, about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that.
And that might have been Milton DeWitt's because
that's
his father
who it was.
Yeah, that's who brought
that. That is who it was.
For a long time, you see, Judge Warren bought that property. It was just a junky, a wet meadow, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean, a spongy meadow. And but they did have cows, and he furnished us with milk for a long time, and I always had to take a lard bucket and go down from the cabin to get the day's milk supply after they milked and she cooled it off a little in the running water.
Uh-huh.
And DeWitts lived there, and then the Hawley family. Later, the Hawley family, he drove the bus. It was always called a stage. And then he started stage line from Spokane to Wallace and one or two other places, which eventually turned into the Greyhound. Merged with them and did something. They lived there. So they lived on the Warren Ranch, those two families, for a number of years. And the DeWitts had five children, and I think the Hollies had seven and eight. But as I say, this was the St. Elmo Hotel where you stayed the night before. But after they've started to have the auto stages, we came up on an 8 o'clock Great Northern train from Spokane. And got there about 10:30, and by 11 o'clock we were in the stage and on our way up and with our baskets of lunch, because we ate in our laps as we drove along. But you still had to get out and walk up the hills. You know, they were awful. You didn't remember. Because they weren't blacktopped, and they were twisty, and they were steep. They hadn't really graded them any. This was Warren Jones, and he drove stage two, but I don't think he ever drove the horses. Ag can't remember. She thinks that's just that he was in a stand and had the auto stage. Well, these were just pictures of people up here. That Mrs. Phelan's husband was, Jack Phelan was ranger down there. This was a Mrs. Clemens whose husband was an assistant ranger with children. And well, these are just Rogers. See, they always live next door to Rogers. When the Chants built this house, they had a niece, Kitty Barker, I think her name was. And she was married, and her husband left her with a youngster, and they had to kind of take care of her. So they built the cabin the Rogers have.
Next door.
Yeah, to take care of her. And the husband was Vic Smith, who helped Mr. McCrae build the McCrae cabin that Percy Blake and Estelle had. And at about the same time that this cabin was built.
Oh, yeah.
So Percy had a deed that indicated that that had been built around 1903.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And this, now there's the winter up here at the Idaho Inn, you see, lots of snow. This was this one of the first, I think Margie knows exactly where this early cabin was, up there right back of near where she and Jim and Roberts lived. It was one of the first cabins. Then this school teacher sent me these, and Ivy Fitzsimmons, and she taught. She made eyes all winter at a fellow named Carl Cool and married him, and they used to josh and get a lot about. She would stand, well, they had a big stove like this, only a little bigger than this, to keep warm. Well, we couldn't keep very warm, you know. But she was always huddled around, was trying to keep warm, and the loggers would all say, couldn't understand why The teacher had such a time keeping warm when she was working so hard to get cool. Did marry him, and here they lived in Camas, Washington, for years afterwards. And she knew I was interested in saving all these things, and so she sent this whole bunch of them to me. These four. And I was real glad because it shows the waterfront pretty well, and sure this shows.
Yeah, Dad.
Now the old Banshee was another steamboat that honey is Matthew, it sounds Matthew-ish. Banshee was built more or less on the lines of the Dixie Queen or Delta Queen or some of those big open river boat with railing around the lower floor and then a kind of open sides, and the upper floor deck was just kind of chicken wire all around to keep you from falling off. And they were going to do great excursion business. They were going to have three excursions up the lake and back, and his name was Wheatley, and he had a large family. And they came up and they launched the boat and had a wonderful time with it and went up the lake and came back, and it sunk. Mm. The boiler blew up, and it sunk right down here in front of Mrs. Fuzzy's cabin, which was right down here. Mm. This was the all the Forest Service set up. These were Forest Service boathouses. And the Forest Service cabin, large house, was up on the hill quite a ways, and was a very nice log, you remember, with white chinking, a good-looking building. They tore down a few years ago. And then the bunkhouses and things for when they had fires or when they had to keep somebody on duty all the time were down here, just adjacent to where you go in to Bill Warren's property, at the, right below Houdini's. Mm. It all ties in down there. Mm. And then from that on, around the foot of the bay is the Warren Meadow.
Well, why was the Forest Service on the east side of the lake? I thought they
there was no way into the lake except Coolin.
Oh,
he
I
came
see.
In, he
went,
came
okay.
in from Priest River to Coolin until end of the 20s.
Okay.
And then later they put a station up at Beaver Creek, and they had the one at, was it, it's over here?
Ruby Bay.
Because Jim Ward was ranger there and his children were there. And I was so hoping that Cameron, who is really a well-to-do doctor down in San Francisco, and I talked to his sister Helen about it, and she gave me his address. I think I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you to send him a slip because she said he ought to do something in memory of his father. Well, he should.
Mm-hmm.
He should shell out a little. Something for us to have a little running money with. We got to have stamps.
Mm-hmm.
This was the old Andy Coolin house, which I took. I ran around like mad and took pictures for a while before they bulldozed everything. And
one stopped by a few years ago. It's got a low one here.
Really? These are Thoroughfare Camp pictures that Uncle Walter and Grandpa and my Uncle Fred sleep. Uncle Fred Slee married the Havermill granddaughter, Laura Birch, and so they were tied in with all the early pioneers, too. This was one of the mill shipman cabins before they all rotted down. But these are right on the thoroughfare, and it was a lovely place to camp. Now, Tony and Mary Lemley had a place that's now Kokanee, and their house was there, and I don't think I ever got a picture of the house. Sorry, I didn't. I went to him. He just bulldozed it down.
Yeah.
There's Margie Paul when she was little. Hard to believe.
Isn't she
tonnage,
cute?
Her tonnage has always been heavy since, but
she's darling.
She was a doll. Mm-hmm. And Leonard had just built this new house. He'd married Vera. They'd lived in the. He and his mother had lived in the back of the store, the old store. Quite nice apartment rooms. This was old Mr. Seabury, who brought a sailboat up and was one of the first sailboats. But it was a New England type, very heavy, and boy, we had to take our shoes off and go around barefoot or in our stockings. He wasn't going to have that dick scratched up. And he chewed and spit, and when you'd be out with him, if you were windward or something, a little careful. But he played the fiddle, and his main piece that he could play the best was My Pretty Red Wing. And I never hear anybody playing Red Wing without This was a good view of the Fenton Ranch in the early days, and where the Cavanaugh Bay Airport is now, of course. This is the peninsula behind us here, you see. I've lost Roaring Creek, though. I couldn't find it. I haven't been able to
Know where it is?
Well, yeah, I should.
It's such a little creek.
We couldn't see a drop. I wondered if it had dried up.
It was through a culvert under the road.
Well, that's what I suppose. I
said
that.
We found it once when we were
We found it once,
there.
But the other day when we went up the falls.
Uh-huh.
We have to have an annual excursion to the falls. Well, that was Father and Mrs. Albert Allen, I think. Frank Allen, you may have known. They were attorneys in Spokane. All of us had.
Yeah, this is where
Fenton's
all that
ranch.
Stuff is.
And
we used to park the boat. We'd come up here, park the boat there, and walk up and see Mrs. Fenton. Tell her we wanted some
milk,
and we'd go down here and pick peas down right down in here somewhere.
Yeah,
pick our own peas, and then go back. And she sold two kinds of milk. She sold skimmed and not skimmed. And we'd get the skimmed milk and take it home and put it in the creek. And by the next day, it had that much milk. She didn't have a separator. She just skimmed it, and then she'd skim it about it was probably 6 hours after it got cool, and it still was third cream.
Helen Palmer got loose in that pea field. You know, your mother's friend. And she just went crazy. We were buying that green peas 5 cents a pound, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to pick them. Well, Helen just, she had this gunny sack in one hand going up and down the rows. She just, we could hardly get her away from it. We had half a gunny sack, I know, by the time.
It was fun to pick these.
And we picked them, and then we'd pick them over there, and we pulled green onions. And one time, she'd, you remember that boat, Grandpa had given Mother a substantial wooden boat with a small motor, I think a horse and a half or two, was it two horses?
Yeah, horse and a half.
Anyway,
one
we chugged
her.
I took everybody here always, wherever we went, we piled in it, I don't know how I dared, but we would go to George's to get with the jugs to get the water, you see, because we didn't like the lake water as well as we did Hunt Creek. And so it was an effort to go care up the spring here. So we'd go with jugs and get water, and then we'd jog down to Mrs. Fenton's and pick peas, and she'd bake bread and fresh rolls that day. And so she was very willing to sell half the baking to Mrs. McBurney. And we had the children. Yeah. And she had green onions. We pulled a lot of those. Well, we shelled peas all the way home, throwing the pods in the lake. I'm ashamed to say, but the children had such a lovely time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I got the peas shelled, and they ate the fresh rolls and washed off the green onions and had onions and fresh rolls and the milk. And we didn't have to get any supper, so when we got home. But that kind of jaunt was the sort of thing that we enjoyed. Oh, these are just, I think, well, there's the bridge at Hunt Creek. It's no longer. You know, that was by McCrae's.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Miss Fuzzy and Mrs. Bear. Yeah, they bought a new car.
Beautiful car.
They had sold the store down here at Coolin and retired and we're going to live in.
It's like the boat that's out in front.
Yeah, that is. Well, now this, I took this picture of the Reardon Ranch, which later was Thomas's Ranch on the Cavanaugh Bay Road, which now the Burgers have. And they're just so lovingly rebuilding.
Are they really?
And it's so pretty, and they're doing so much to it. You'd just be real pleased. Abe Lee, we always used to go down and see Abe Lee, and he was an old friend of Kit Carson. Mm. Used to regale us with tales of wildlife and the mountains. But came up there, and then this was the Rangers. I took the picture.
You remember where this was in relation to the lake?
Yeah. Down, you looked the length of the lake from it, but it burned somewhere. We walked in the Lee Creek Road for that, and we walked in the
Thomas Road for that.
Thomas Road for this.
Thomas was a
and
really good friend of my grandpa's.
We always used to go those two things every summer. As I say, my grandmother wore this linen, real heavy linen suit, long skirt, puffed sleeves like, but it shed the dust and the didn't look dirty or anything, to mm-hmm. travel back and forth and everything. And she'd put that on, we'd in her stout shoes. We'd always go and make our two summers calls on mm-hmm. those two people. Abe was quite a carry. He looked a great deal like Abraham Lincoln. He had rangy, long-jawed chap. Sourdough, they called him Sourdough. He had some horses. But Nick, this was the Hodges house that later, for a little while, was the post office. It was right next to the Idaho Inn. And that was, oh, yeah, that was the Davis's, Mrs. Davis's. I see Bill has a big sign up for sale, 142 acres. He only wants 298,000 for it. Mm. We turned it down. Yeah. We turned down, I mean, she tried hard to sell it to us years ago for $3,200. And we really wanted it, but it was in the bottom of the depression. Mm. And we had this, and my father said, well, what in the world do you want another piece of land just because it's so pretty? They like the meadow and the view's pretty. Well, we've kicked ourselves, and we could have bought the salmon one down around the corner here for $2,500, but he said the mining rights that were in the deeds to those pieces were so precarious at that time because they were also sure they were going to put a railroad in up here and they were going to develop the iron and coal possibilities that they seemed to think. So far, I've not seen any trains in. This was a school, well, I just took this because I was afraid they'd knock the Civic Center down next time. But this is a, then that was a nice little cabin at Mrs. Davis's. So Mrs. Ferdig said, you must go over and see the bed. They want you to see the bed you made.
I told Lois I had some furniture over here, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we should also watch our time.
Oh, I suppose because dinner hour will be approaching.
Yeah, and I work tonight, so.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, these are just the type of things that you wouldn't take out, of course, because but I just, they were family stuff, and I just kept putting them in.
Mm.
But things like this, if they do, we've got a letter over here Timmy wrote the governor complaining about the fishing. And then I thought, oh, way back when he was 10, 11 years old, and got a nice letter back from him. And this was the opening of the dam, or the Albany Falls. I don't know whether anybody has one of those. I assume that Bonner County does, or Pondere County, or somebody. But nobody saves these things, you know, unless you're a pack rat like they are. And these were just curious clippings that would make good reference if we started a file.
There's that one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, but you see, that's the point.
Yeah, sure.
You just got to save them or you don't know how. Oh, and this was Mrs. Sorg's blue jeans cabin, you know, down at where the Ziegler's have torn, they've torn that down now. But that was the highlight of the lake. That was really elegant. That was a townhouse. Mr. Sorg was a very interesting hotel keeper, you know, down the Globe. Globe Hotel, wasn't it? And the Globe Annex. The Globe, Mr. Sorg's hotels, weren't they? The Globe at the end of Riverside Avenue.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Sorg stayed up here.
I always thought my folks honeymooned in blue jeans, and I guess they honeymooned in the cabin at the Hudson.
Yeah, that was the I was so sorry that, as I said, I don't begrudge the Hunts fixing it up to be comfortable. It's much nicer than getting along the way we do, you see. My children, about grandchildren, can hardly stand that old deer bed. We are going to get it down and roll out. It's age is set in, it's just beyond hope, you see. But the stove is, there it is, and it was the way they put it in, and we've kept it intact. And, well, I was going to show you the sourdough crock and some of those things. And then I thought nobody would keep one of those if I didn't. Some of these aren't even so. But my experience down with the Coles Museum and that library is that you don't get them with dates. People don't save them with dates, which is too bad.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Or what papers they're in. And you should